Reserve Drainage District Number 4, Board of Commissioners meeting being held on this May the 5th, 2020. We're beginning our meeting at approximately 9:02. We always begin our meeting with an invocation, which will be led by Commissioner Keller. I will lead us in the pledge. If you please rise and join us.
I am a Christian. Welcome, by the way, to all of you who are here and those of you who are on remote. I'm a Christian, therefore my prayers are offered to a triune God. I do not believe in proselytization, therefore I do not wish in any way whatsoever to transfer you from whatever religion you may share. Your relationship with God is your own. That being said, if you choose to pray in a different way, please feel free to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to you for another opportunity to serve our constituents in this worthy cause of drainage and flood control. We pray, Lord, that those decisions we make meet with your favor as well as the favor of our constituents. God, we want to thank you for seeing us through thus far to the extent that we have come in this horrible virus problem that the entire world is facing. We know you know our plight, Lord, and we pray for your help further in overcoming this monster. Father, we want to thank you for those frontline people in the medical profession and those who are serving in the various other ways, those people who are sick. Lord, the news this morning comes with great concern further in that young people are having after effects of blood clots and problems associated with their arterial system. Lord, bless those Gold Star families of our country and forgive us now of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Join me in the pledge to our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. I would like to make a reminder of our meeting announcement. This meeting is not an open forum for comments from the public, and we will follow our standard board meeting rules. If you have not filled out and submitted our citizen's request to address the board form, then you will not be allowed to speak during the conference call. Moving on, item 2, I have no public comments. Item 3 is the approval of minutes of a regular meeting of April 7th, 2020. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second without exception, sir.
Motion made and seconded. Any comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Moving on to item 4, approval of checks for the expenses of May 2020 and June 2020. Make a motion we approve checks numbers 38361 through 38433. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor, and keep saying aye.
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 Moving on to item 5, new business. Item A, discussion, consideration, and possible action to accept a 0.125 acre drainage easement from Lucas Properties and Investments, LLC, on Hickory Slough for Pearland Industrial Park Project, BDD 4, number 19184. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second, sir.
Motion been made and seconded. Any comments, questions?
Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Item B is discussion, consideration, and possible action to dedicate a 5-foot utility easement for natural gas only within the district right-of-way adjacent to Midtown at Magnolia as requested by Gahan Holmes and to allow the district's attorney to draft utility easement documents. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. A couple questions for staff or Jared, if you could, would. The depth of the gas line?
The minimum depth of cover is 5 feet.
And I'll correct that, it's
4 foot. 4 foot. Okay, and do we know the size of the gas line that's going to be placed in this?
We do not at this time.
Okay. Okay, and I presume that no meters will be in this easement, it's just going to be the gas line?
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay, and our attorney's going to be drafting the easement documents, I would presume, to withhold the district from any liability of this gas line.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. Any questions from anyone else?
Yes. You say the minimum depth is 4 feet. That's pretty shallow for a gas line. What is this, a service?
I think the standard bury on gas is 30 inches, or standard minimum, maybe I should say. But this is pushed all the way to the outside edge of the easement. Additionally, that you may recall, there's a 20-foot sidewalk access easement along here.
Yes, sir.
So not only is it pushed out to the edges, but there'll be a sidewalk on top of it, or virtually on top of it.
And this is not the main line. This is a service line. The main lines are in front of the houses. This is just serving those properties along that fence right there.
Six or four? What is the size of it?
We don't know the size of it.
Oh, okay.
And Commissioner, if I may add to John's comment, these will be, there's a total of 5 townhomes adjacent to the easement. These are the individual residential service drops. It's not a main gas line. It is just individual service drops to 5 homes.
It's not going to be bigger than a 4. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sure, we will be getting further information once the document is drawn up and is asking for our approval on this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Moving on to item C, discussion, consideration, possible action to accept, approve, and authorize the chairman to sign the annual financial audit for the fiscal year ending September 30, 2019, as prepared by McGrath and Company, PLLC, CPAs. I presume we have on the line Ms. Collette.
Yes, we do.
They'll be able to perform or tell us about our audit.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to be here with you all today. We are presenting a bit later than we normally do. There was sort of a perfect storm of circumstances this year with additional work that we needed to do on your audit because of the federal funds that you've received, Kimberly's absence, and then the COVID-19 restrictions made for a very interesting audit period, but we're glad to be at the point where we're wrapping all of this up. We have, if you have your draft in front of you, I would like to go ahead and walk you through your draft just real quickly here. We have issued a clean opinion on the district financial statement. That's on pages 1, 2, and 3. I would point out to you that the additional paragraph on page 3 is there because we had hoped to have your single audit report ready for you, but that's not quite finished yet, and so that paragraph will be coming off of the opinion. The most important paragraph here is at the top of page 2, and that's where we provide you with a clean opinion on your financial statement. Okay. If you would go ahead and jump to pages 14 and 15 of your draft, these are your basic financial statements. We've discussed before, in that under the accounting rules, you have to present information for your fund, your general fund, all right, and this focuses on short-term inflows and outflows of cash. And you also have to report on what's called the government-wide basis of accounting. That's where you include all of your assets and your liabilities. Okay? So if you see on page 14, that's basically your balance sheet, your assets and all your liabilities. You can see under both methods of accounting that the district is actually very healthy. If you look at the bottom of page 14 in the fund balance section, you have $21 million in fund balance. And then also in the government-wide, if you look at the column on the far right at the bottom, you have $27 million in net position on the full accrual basis. So those are very, very healthy numbers. If you look on page 15, that is your resources. This shows money coming in and money going out. And again, everything looks very healthy. You had a $1.4 million net change in fund balance, just focusing on cash inflows. And then on the full accrual basis of accounting, you had $62.6 million. The notes of the financial statements begin on page 17, and these provide information to help the reader understand and provide additional information on the district financial statement. If you go to page 26, that's your pension note. The biggest liabilities that the districts have are associated with their employee benefits. You offer your employees a pension plan. There's additional disclosures required associated with that. And you'll see that note is actually quite lengthy. Then on page 8, we have the note that relates to your retiree medical plan. And then we have on page 37, you have a group term life insurance that you offer through PCDRO. On page 43, we have a budget to actual comparison. This is required information in your report. And what I would like for you to take a look at is on page 44. This is a trend summary of changes related to your pension plan. And this shows you there is a measurement difference because this is based upon when the actuarial valuation of the plan was done. So for your 2019 fiscal year, you're looking at your 2018 valuation. If you take a look at the top part of this page, it shows your total pension liability, right? And you can see that as of December 31st, 2018, your total pension liability was at $22 million. The next section below there shows your, these are your pension assets. These are the assets that you have, the money that you paid into PCDRS. And you can see that's at about $18.6 million. That line there that's labeled net pension liability, you can see that you actually had a rather significant increase in that this last year. It went from $1.6 million to $3.4 million. This number is going to continue to grow. This is simply a function of the fact that you do have a pension liability and that the liability gets restated every year, and that number is just going to continue to increase. You are contributing more than you're required to, which is helpful. We do expect to see this trend to continue. The percentages there below show the extent to which your pension liability is covered by your pension liability is covered by your assets. That's a lot of technical information there, and this is not the easiest form for providing it. But are there any questions on the pension liability or anything? Because there were some questions on this last year. Page 46 is your changes in your.
Excuse me, Colette.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
So on the pension liability, we're at 84% right now. Is that still considered good, or should it be in the 90s?
I think it's still considered good, particularly when you compare yourself to, the larger cities and counties. I think if you look back a little bit to the table, if you look at page 31, this might be an easier way to see what's driving the increase in that net pension liability. Do you see that table under changes in net pension liability?
It's on, on page 31.
Page 31, at the top of page 31. You'll see that there's a column for the pension liability, and next to it there's a column for the fiduciary net position. Those are your pension assets. And the next column is the net liability. And if you look in that total pension liability column, you'll see what's really driving that increase. See that $1.6 million? The term for that is interest on total pension liability, but TCDRS is not charging your interest. That's really just the time value of money. And so this is really, if you look at the overall increase, for instance, in the pension liability column, you'll see that's where the bulk of that's coming from. In your fiduciary net position, your pension asset column, you went from 18.5 to 18.6. So that number didn't really change much. Your contributions of $666,000 pretty much were offset by benefit payments and other costs associated with the pension plan. So what's essentially happening here, and you may want to talk to TCDRS if you are concerned about the trend here, is that the time value of money is driving up your pension liability to a greater extent than the contributions that you're making are reducing that. Does that make a little bit more sense, this presentation here? I did like to point out the table in the back because that shows you the overall trend. This is specific to this last year. Okay. If we move back to the back of the report again, we've got on page 46, there's a multi-year trend on your retiree medical plan. This only shows 2 years because the standard that requires this reporting has only been in effect for 2 years. This number, your retiree plan, your medical plan is unfunded. So this number is just going to continue to grow because you're not setting any assets aside for this. And I'm not recommending that you do that. This is just for reporting purposes. The page 47 has the same trend information for your group term life. These are very, very small numbers here. This is administered through TCDRS. Let's see. Okay. Beginning on page 49, there's just additional, there's note disclosures that are related to those supplementary schedule. Beginning on page 53 are all the schedules that are required by TCEQ. These just provide additional expanded information. The information in your basic financial statements is highly summarized. So what these schedules do is that they break the numbers down into more detailed components. Let's see, on page 60, there is a five-year trend for your general fund, and you can see that your revenues over your expenditures on an annual basis continue to be very, very healthy. Okay. We do have one other schedule that is new this year, and that's on page 65. And this is called the Schedule of Expenditures of Federal Awards. And this is related to the Micaiah Cherry Drainage Project and the federal funds that you are receiving for this project. The thing to note about this project is that this is focused not on the money that you received under that grant. It's focused on the money that you spent that you is subject to reimbursement. And then on page 66, there are some notes that are required to accompany that particular schedule. Are there any other questions on the draft itself?
Do you have any questions, Harrison?
Back on page 43 is where it's talked about an intergovernment income, $1.6 million. And I don't see any expenses on that until you get down to what we just talked about on page 65. So did we not have any expenses during the period up to through September or what?
Yes, yes, you did, but they are included in your capital improvements, and that part of that was for your land. So the expenses are not reported separately as an intergovernmental project. And we'll probably change that to say grant revenues, because I think that would be more specific, to say grant revenues. So those are the grant revenues that you are reimbursed for. Part of that reimbursement includes expenses that you incurred last year. So that's why that number is a little bit bigger than the expenditures that were shown on that FEPA schedule at the back. But because the nature of those expenditures is related to, there were professional fees, some engineering costs, and then there were also, the biggest chunk of that was actually the land acquisition costs, and those are included in those capital improvements. So they're not reported separately.
And we'll get a separate single audit on that piece of it.
Yes, there is. We are still the single audit is actually very intense and very detailed. We as an aside, we truly and greatly appreciate both John and Michelle's assistance to that process. We were asking questions that we haven't asked in a long time because the single audit requires a much more thorough analysis and evaluation of internal controls and how you all do things. And that's sort of what has slowed us down a bit this year. So we're still working on wrapping that report up. And so I will have a separate single audit report for your review and approval at your meeting next month. But yes, you will be getting a separate report on that. Other than that, despite the delays in getting through all this, your audit did go very, very smoothly. Your books are in good order. We really did not have any issues, and we do appreciate everybody's assistance in getting through this. Very, very professional and very, very courteous.
Derek, do you have any questions?
Yes, I have a couple. Coletta, how are you this morning?
How are you doing?
Great. At the bottom of the page on your cover letter, there are four people named along with their credentials.
Yeah.
The question is, you are one of those people. During the course of this audit, did any of those credentials change?
No, they did not.
Great. On page 3 of one of your letters, you say, and I quote, "We, in our sole professional judgment, reserve the right to refuse to perform any procedure or take any action that should be construed as assuming management responsibilities." During the course of the audit, did any of those situations occur?
They did not.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Colette, in regards to our retirement responsibilities, could you give us some, not today, but in the future, give us some ideas on how we might be able to watch this more closely, fund this if needed, some avenues?
Yes. I will see what I'll take a look at this and I'll see what kind of guidance. I can't, there's of course a limit since I'm your independent auditor. I can't provide too much guidance, but I will see what I can find out and what I can direct. Because your numbers are trending up. I know that you don't necessarily want that to continue. I will do what I can.
I just don't want the district to get in a position like other governmental entities where they're not able to fund their.
I understand completely.
I presume from our staff we have not received anything from our TCDRS or whether we're good, bad, and with them?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
Typically, that does come out, I believe, soon. So that might be the starting point for some discussions, because they should have the actuarial valuation for December 31st, 2019, ready for you in probably next month.
We'll be looking for those.
Well, the district always has over-contributed. Did I understand you to say we're still continuing to do that?
Yes. You had an additional contribution. I think your required contributions were about $330,000, and you put an additional $300,000 towards that.
Right.
Which is excellent. You would be in much worse shape if you had not made a habit of doing that. And in fact, there's a table on, if you look on page 48, there is a 10-year trend summary there that shows the contributions that you were required to make.
Yes.
And then the contributions that you actually made. And you can see that you have traditionally, historically, always contributed more towards your pension plan, and that is excellent.
That's all I have. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Colette.
Well, thank you.
So I will make a motion to accept and approve and the authorize the chairman to sign the annual financial audit for the fiscal year ending September 30, 2019, as prepared by McGrath and Company PLLC, CPAs. And motion, is there a second?
Can we also add into that motion and enter into the records of the district?
Yes, and enter into the records of the district.
Good.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion made. Second. Any further comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none, all in favor, say an aye.
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 Thank you, Colette.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item six, variance request and approval. Item A is United Analytical, BDD 4, number 20146, variance request, Daniel Scott Engineering, LLC, 17803, Pentagram 127. The variance request is a reduction of outfall flow line from 12 inches to 6 inches. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion. I have a question.
Sure.
This reduces the outflow by 50% roughly. Is there any reason they can't side by side install 6-inch lines?
The county requirements, in this case it's a county roadside ditch, the county requirement is that you bring a 24-inch into the right-of-way and you restrict it outside the right-of-way. So you can't use anything smaller than a 24-inch and meet the county's requirements.
Well, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same ball game? A reduction in the outflow line from 12 inches to 6 inches?
Okay, so
in the flow line, not the size,
not the size pipe. But
your criteria says a standard outfall pipe, the flow line has to be 12 inches up off the bottom of the ditch.
Oh, okay.
And we've run into this a few times here recently, including a project in Brookside and other ones. But basically, they're asking to deviate so that their flow line would be 6 inches off the bottom of the ditch. And the reason for this is the ditch is very shallow. And they end up with very little depth to work with their detention on site.
I'm sorry, I misread the word flow line. Thank you.
Harrison, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approving this variance request for United Analytical indicate by saying aye.
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 Item B is Pomona Big Lake, Big Island Lake, BDD 4, number 20124, variance request, LJ Engineering, Inc., north of Big Island Drive, near the intersection of State Highway 288 and Mustang Bayou. Variance request and allowance of a material other than concrete for the overflow swale. Make a motion to approve.
second?
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. It is my understanding that, and first of all, let me state that I appreciate the staff following the rules, regulations, and guidelines of Missouri Drainage District Number 4. In my understanding, some of these were allowable. Material was allowed without board approval and through variance requests and stuff like that. So I appreciate y'all bringing this to the board to be approved appropriately. So, but I understand they've used this material by staff approval and not board approval in the past, and we were just making sure that they're following the rules and we're approving this. So.
Correct, and there's no known instances of this product, this landlocked 300, being problematic elsewhere in the development.
What is the material?
It's similar to a green Brillo pad that you wash dishes with. It doesn't have quite that tight of a mesh, but it lays in there, and the grass can grow through it, which is why it has some appeal. It's more aesthetically pleasing when the grass establishes than concrete is.
So this is more like an interlocking block?
No, it's like a thin fabricated plastic mat that's got holes and it's breathable, if you will, so the grass can grow through it, but that armor stays underneath the grass and protects the turf, not the turf, but the soil beneath it.
Is there any instances, not necessarily north of Big Island Drive or Big Island Drive or Big Island Lake, excuse me, where this material has been used and caused it to be washed away by overflows or anything like that?
Within Pomona, this seems to be working just fine. I can't say for all of the use of this product, you know, wherever it may have been used, that there haven't been any issues. I'm not personally aware of any, but we haven't seen any issues in Pomona when this was used previously.
Okay. Well, I would ask our staff to keep an eye on this stuff. We're going to approve this. And what is our follow-up if this stuff seems to fail on these overflow swales, if it ever does?
Yeah, in this instance, the application will occur outside of district facilities. This is the overflow in the basin itself, which is a private a mud maintained facility. So it's if there is a problem, it will be the mud's problem to sort it out.
Okay.
So this is like a weed block. I'm sorry, Jim.
Go ahead.
This is like a weed block that really doesn't block any weeds.
That's a way of looking at it.
Yeah,
it's thicker than like poly, like plastic sheeting,
right,
like you put down for painting. It's
like
it's,
screen wire.
It has some structure to it.
It's a heavier material.
And I think I gave you some bad information on that, Jeff, so I apologize for that.
No, my worrisome is I don't have a problem with proving this, but I want us to keep a record of this in our district. Change our rules to allow this stuff. We're making a variance on this, but we have documentation that if there is a failure somewhere, not necessarily if it's our responsibility or on our swale, that we know that this stuff does not work and we should not put it in our
right.
Absolutely. We'll follow up on that. Understood.
That's my point that I want our staff and others to follow, that, you know, drive out there during a storm event, and if it's failing, then we need to know, hey, this stuff doesn't work, and we're not going to be branding anymore if someone else brings it to us.
Absolutely. And Lee or Jared, it's my understanding that they've been using this for a number of years without incident?
Yeah, throughout Pomona development. I haven't personally looked at all the installations, but the engineer conveyed to me that this was allowed by previous staff, and it's worked successfully throughout their development, so they're wanting to just kind of finish what they started. But we'll monitor it and make sure if there is an issue, we make you aware of it as soon as we find out.
Because I don't want other
entities, well, I mean, other entities can come to us asking for a variance at this time, but if it doesn't work, then we need to know something in our in the future. So, based on staff recommendation, in my opinion. Okay. So, all in favor of granting this variance request for Pomona Big Island Lake, indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
And moving on to item 7, plats and plans for approval. Item A, I'll go through them all. Make a motion to approve the following. Item A, Manville Town Center, Phase 1A, BDD 4, number 19196, final drainage plan, BGE Inc., Northwest intersection of State Highway 288 and State Highway 6. Item B is Pearland Industrial Park, BDD 4, number 19184, final plat, RSG Engineering, southwest of intersection between McCard Road and Highway 35. Item C, the mansion at Southport, BDD 4, number 18152, final drainage plan, Trinity Bay Engineering, LLC, 2354 County Road 59. Item D is Pearland Surface Water Treatment Plant, BDD 4, number 20121, drainage impact analysis, Reese and Nichols, Inc., County Road 48, just north of Mustang Bow. Item E is 4303 Chance Lane, BDD 4, number 20147. Final drainage plan, Daniel Scott Engineering, 4303 Chance Lane. Item F is Pomona, Section 17, BDD 4, number 20151, final plat. LJ Engineering, west of Highway 288, North of County Road 58 in Pomona Subdivision. Item G is Pearland Surface Water Treatment Plant, BDD 4, number 20118, final plat, C.L. Davis & Company, County Road 48, just north of Mustang. Item H is Metro Ready Mix, BDD 4, number 19189, final drainage plan, Tri-Hawk Construction, LLC, 6420 Brookside Drive. Item I is Air Park Estate, Section 6, BDD 4, number 20150, final plat, Gormley Surveying, Inc., Northwest Intersection, County Road 127 and County Road 130. Item J is AutoZone, BDD 4, number 201110, final drainage plan, ALJ Lindsay, LLC, southeast of Intersection, County Road 59 and Kirby, south side of County Road 59. Item K is Pomona Big Island Lake, BDD 4, number 20124, final drainage plan, LJA Engineering, Inc., north of Big Island Drive, near the intersection of State Highway 288 Mustang. Item L is Pomona, Section 17, BDD 4, number 20148, final drainage plan. LJA Engineering, Inc., west of State Highway 288, north of County Road 58 in the Pomona Subdivision. Item M is Shadow Creek Access Drive, BDD 4, number 19143, final drainage plan. ALJ Lindsay, LLC, southeast corner of Shadow Creek Parkway and Kinsley Drive. And item N is United Analytical, BDD 4, number 20146, final drainage plan. Daniel Scott Engineering, LLC, 17803, County Road 127. Motion been made. Is there a second?
I will second. May I ask you a question, sir? For the benefit of the audience, what is the primary difference between a final plat and a final plan?
In a plat, what's being achieved is typically subdividing land into lots or reserves. And the reason it's of prime importance to the district is we have facilities throughout the district where we don't have the requisite drainage easement. And so that's our one and only opportunity, for the most part, to get the easements we need to maintain the facilities in the district.
So a plat is the actual action of dividing property into pieces.
Right, and in some cases, taking a piece and defining its use. So in one case, you may make an unrestricted reserve intended for commercial use. In another case, you may make a single residential lot.
And plan then is going to be the overall plan as platted.
Right. The physical execution of construction, and we're primarily looking at the drainage and detention and ensuring that we're meeting the zero downstream impact requirements of the district.
Say that again, zero downstream
impact.
This district, as far as I know, is the only district that observes that zero downstream impact as a part of its regulations. That doesn't require a comment. I'm just making note of that fact.
Harrison, do you have any questions in regards to any of these?
No, I think I've pretty well talked everything out previously.
Then on item A, Manville Town Center, phase one of this development, I presume we will be keeping a tabulation on these detention ponds on this, and as further developments come on, we'll be able to tabulate this and make sure that they comply with the acre feet of acre detention requirement.
That's correct. Our requirements stipulate that the future plans by other engineers or whomever design it, they're required to maintain a ledger showing the debits, if you will, for each project against the capacity provided with these three detention ponds, and it'll be a living document that will live throughout the life of the rest of this development coming to fruition.
Is Manville Town Center going to be a MUD or some other type of jurisdiction in which to maintain these ponds, or Manville Town, or is each one of these developments that occur within Manville Town Center going to be responsible for these ponds, or do we know?
I would need to check on that. I would venture to guess that a MUD's involved because the developer can get some of their money back through bond sales and that sort of thing. But I'm not 100% sure that there's a MUD out here.
Could you let the board know how these detention ponds are going to be who's going to be maintaining them? Who's going to be responsible for them?
I'll check into that, yes.
You will keep us abreast of the tabulation as the development occurs in regards to the development out there.
Right.
I would ask. On item C, the mansion at South Fork, I see that there's two ponds that are in conjunction. There's a front pond and a back pond, and it all flows to the back pond, then goes to the front pond, then out to 59.
Correct. Correct. Everything goes from back to front to the County Road 59 roadside ditch.
Okay. And 4303 Chance Lane, brought this up previously, but this is a previous development, and the capacity in this addition, there is enough capacity in this to cover this addition to that development.
Yes, sir. Slide 36 shows this property, and you can see on either side of Chance Lane up against 288 are the two detention ponds that were part of a previously approved drainage plan that provides capacity for all of that development north and south of Chance Lane.
Okay. In regards to item I on the Airport Estates Section 6, I have reluctance about approving this final plat, but the motion's been made and seconded. But I'm concerned about, first of all, I know that they're doing a drainage study or drainage plan for the entire development of this, but looking at the plat, there could be parcel of this land that are not going to be able to be drained to either County Road 127 or 130. How are we going to get around this if some of these plats behind that will not be able to?
So we're in more regular conversation with Stephen Alexander at the airport, and because of that open dialogue, I'm aware that they went through a selection process to find an engineer to do an updated master drainage plan for the airport. It's my understanding the selection process is complete, but I would venture to guess they're probably 3 to 6 months away from having an updated plan. With regard to these two specific lots shown on slide 49, one will drain to Hastings-Friendswood Road and the other would drain to Brown Road number one. It's also my understanding from Mr. Alexander that they, the airport, have sold this property to to this other person or entity, and they're kind of on their own and won't be part of the updated master drainage plan for the airport.
How big are these pieces of property?
It's
4.63 acres, and the other is 2.55.
And they are required to do their drainage plans just like anybody else would be.
Well, this is my reluctant stand. These are the two tracks. Look, if you look at the picture of the airport, now they, if these people have to drain this way, if they don't have access and way to drain, they're never going to be able to drain that property.
That land is so horribly low out there.
Yeah. Well, I will hope that the drainage district is kept abreast of the drainage study and plan that's going to be going on out there, that we ensure that these tracts of land, as they are sold off and developed, that they will be able to drain their property, or we're going to have a headache in the future.
Their recourse is to their engineer.
Favor in the
cape
of saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hey, gentlemen, approximately 9:49, I'll call for adjournment.
Without exception.
Thank you.